All right, everybody. Welcome to the If Deaf Live session at Build 2018. We've got a great show for you today. We've got some special guests, Killian McCoy and Jaime Rodriguez. Musical guest, Pete Brown. I'm your host, Jeff Bertoft. And now the host of our show, Nicola.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Round of applause for our other host, Jeff. We're hosts.
Yeah, co-host.
I'll see that, co-host. We haven't agreed on that. Man, so many people here. I'm so excited to see everybody here. It's an exciting day. It's great to be at Build 2018. We're going to have so much fun. You have no idea. Man, I flew in all the way from Redmond, and my arms are tired.
Sorry, I
wanted to try that joke. Anyway, so what we're trying to do here is we have some amazing guests. We have Killian McCoy, who's coming all the way from our team to talk about Windows machine learning. We have Jaime Rodriguez, who's hiding somewhere trying to fix his demo. He's going to talk to us about mixed reality. And we have musical guest Pete Brown, who's going to talk to us about MIDI and eye gaze. We have some amazing demos. We want to inspire you. We want to show you what's possible on the Windows platform together with the cloud and Microsoft 365. And we're hoping to do that with all this amazing hardware that we have here. Now, before we get into it, I have some jokes. You want to hear some jokes?
I think we've got a minute. You guys okay. ready
you
for this?
You want to hear some jokes? Okay. It's my stand-up, I guess, I don't know, whatever it's called. Why do JavaScript developers wear glasses? Anybody? Because they don't see sharp. Anybody?
I got a better one.
Okay, so developers are in demand these days, right? There's one company poaching developers from another company. So I thought I'd use this to my advantage. And I go to my boss's office, and I say, hey, so I have three companies that are after me. I think it's time to talk about a raise. I think I need a raise. My boss thinks about it and said, okay, how about 5%? I'm like, oh, 5% is good, thank you. I kind of leave his office, and I'm happy with the answer. My boss stops me, hey, by the way, who's after you? Like, well, we have the cable company, the gas company, and the electric company.
Boom.
You think, boom. Okay. I'm going to stick to my developer job from now on. Okay, so before we get started, before I get our first guest on stage, Tuesdays is when I do all my development, and I kind of want to showcase what I've done today. We had some great announcements this morning, so I thought I'd show you some of the stuff I've been working on, if you guys don't mind. It's going to take about 3-4 minutes. Is that okay?
I think what we should do is do it in front of us.
Right.
Can
okay,
you share
yeah.
your just, screen?
A demo. I already prepared it. It's right okay. here. Who saw our videos that we put out last week? Awesome. If you haven't seen our videos, go to aka.ms/ifdef. You'll have a lot of fun with all the videos. Well, who saw this video where we used a Russian nesting doll and it was beyond creepy? I didn't sleep for a night after that video. No? Okay. You should watch that video. I'm going to do a video. I'm going to show you what that was all about. Do you want to Scott Hanselman this for me?
I think I can. Hold on.
Thank you.
It's a verb already.
Okay. I'm going to stand down here because, you know, people need to see the screen. So I'm going to use this guy. And let's pretend this guy is UWP application, a XAML UWP application. And this is going to be a demo about XAML UWP XAML host. You guys saw that demo this morning, that announcement? No? If you don't know, this allows you to host a UWP XAML inside of a Win32 application. So now you can take all the goodness of Fluent inside of any Win32 application, such as WPF and WinForms. And what I thought I'd do is I'll try to host this inside of a WPF application and see what happens. So I have my WPF application, put that guy in there, like that. And now I have a WPF application that has a UWP component in it. And I thought, what if I go another level down? I take a WinForms application, put that in there, and then I have a WinForms app, right, that has a WPF content, that has UWP content.
Can he do it?
Let me show you this. There it is. So I'm going to have a virtual machine for this. So here is the UWP content right here. It's just a border with a stack panel and a toggle switch, right? Here is my WPF view. This is a WPF control library. And I'm using this new thing called XAML host. And all I'm doing is here in the XAML content, I'm just pasting the UI, the XAML that I showed you from my UDLP application. That's all it is, just the same UDLP XAML code that's in there. Now, I didn't stop there. As I mentioned, I also put this inside of a WinForms application. So here's my WinForms library. This basically just has a border. And inside of that border, I'm just initializing the WPF component that has the UDLP component so that Win runs. So what we're going to see now, I'm starting all three applications at the same time. We're going to see a UDLP application, which has its own content. We're going to see a WPF application that's hosting the UDLP content. And we're going to see a WinForms application that has a WPF content that also has a UDLP content inside of it.
Ooh.
Now, you probably wouldn't want to do this. You can go to WPF or WinForms directly from UDLP if you want to do that, but I thought I'd try it out. Now,
I see you have one more doll.
I do have one more doll. We should try one more doll. So I thought, you know what, this is a good scenario, but there's actually other scenarios where maybe other developers want to take advantage of this. So I thought, what if we try VB6? So I have a VB6 container here, right here. So I want to see if we can get VB6 to work this way too. Yeah? Okay, let's try that. So I'm going to close all this stuff down. Oops. Here's my VB6 project. I'm going to open this up. You guys remember this? Who remembers this? Oh, wait, we have a lot of VB6 developers. This is amazing.
Nicola remembers it from when he was 6 years old, apparently.
I started this a week ago for the first time, so thank you. So here's our VB6 application, and all we have right now, we're just loading the WinForms library inside of this VB6. That's all it is. We don't have to do anything magical. We just have to reference the WinForms, a DLL that we created through our WinForms control library. I'm going to go ahead and run this, and you can see this is actually a VB6 application. Thank you. As a WinForms content, WPF content that has UDLP content, and it just works. That's it. What do you guys think? Good stuff, right? Okay. That's all I have for you guys. Thank you for coming. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, we're going to get to the real people that do a bunch of this real fun stuff. So for our first guest, let's go ahead and get him on the screen. We have Killian McCoy, going to talk to us machine learning. Hey, Killian.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm going to have to hold this because we don't have more than two microphones.
This is fine.
Okay, good. So I think you brought a clip with you, right?
Yeah.
Should we watch the clip?
Yeah, let's go.
We need audio here.
Okay, let's watch the clip. Boop, 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 boop. Pretending I'm doing the audio. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, there it is. Okay, why don't you explain what we just watched?
So I made an app where people were making crazy faces, and it uses Windows machine learning and a publicly available Onyx model.
Okay, so can we play with it right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get that started. Okay, so I'm going to play with this. Why don't you tell me what we're doing?
Great. So this is the initialization screen. So as Nicola makes different faces into the camera, the app's going to pick it up and the emoji's going to switch.
Okay.
So Nicola, when you're ready, go ahead and press start.
Okay. Anger. So, I got to
so go ahead and imitate anger. You'll see there's a countdown in the upper left-hand corner, and then there's a preview screen on the right-hand side, so you can see that everything's being captured in real time and updated in the UI.
I'm so good at being neutral. That's amazing.
Awesome.
Okay, what's next?
So you'll notice here that Nicola's best face for each emotion was captured along with its score, and it's posted in a really cute GIF.
I think you did scary for everyone. Is that an option?
We're scary. Fear. Yeah, I'm very good at being scary.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
Okay, so how does this work?
How does it work? So everything is what?
Show us how this works?
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead. Should I show you how it works in a smaller form with
a
simple app?
Let's go through what is this? Like, how did you make this happen? How does this work?
So using WinML, I incorporated an Onyx model that is constantly evaluating every single video frame that comes into the app and assigns a score to it. And this is happening in real time.
Okay, so what is a model and what is Onyx and how does that work?
So a model is the result of running a machine learning algorithm on a robust set of data. So essentially, you give the model an input, and the developer receives an output that is typically a list of probabilities. And then these probabilities are corresponding to the type of the input you give it based on the data that the model is trained on.
Right. And Onyx?
Onyx is the Open Neural Network Exchange, which is the industry standard for machine learning models. It was developed by Facebook and Microsoft, and so it is the type of data file that you would use in machine learning.
So how do I make Onyx models, or can I find Onyx models just laying around somewhere?
Yes. So in this app, I actually used the one that was available on the Onyx repo on GitHub. However, you can create your own Onyx models through CNTK, or you can convert them from other file formats. All those tools are available online.
Right. So this is the Azure Gallery, which has a lot of these models, right?
Yes. So you can find Onyx models ready to use, plug and play in WinML, and you can also find some at the repo on GitHub, and there's more, but this is the one I used for my application. And there's a lot of cool ones, including YOLO, so you should go and check that out.
YOLO?
Yeah. It's called YOLO, yes.
Okay. And you mentioned you also have a sample app you can show us?
Yeah.
How to make it? Okay.
So I can show you how easy it is to make something with WinML. So the first thing, this is a pretty blank application, but I went ahead and did two things in advance. In the app manifest, I made sure that the webcam capability was enabled. The other thing I did is I'm including the Windows Community Toolkit to access a camera preview control. That'll make it really simple to get camera frames to feed into the model. So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to actually drag in the control for the camera preview, and I'm going to assign it a name.
And this control is coming with the next version of the Windows Community Toolkit.
Yes, that is correct. So after we have our camera preview in the XAML, we're going to actually do the most important part of this app, which is including the Onyx file. So as you saw, it was I downloaded it from GitHub, so we're avoiding that step and not waiting for it. And I'm going to add it to this assets file.
Emotion Fur Plus.
Yes, that is what it is called. So once I've added this Onyx file to the assets folder, I actually have to change the build action to content to make sure that it runs and doesn't throw an error. And then after I do that, you'll notice, well, actually you couldn't because it was off the screen, but a CS file was automatically generated, and this gives you a interface to use the model input output as well as a really cool evaluate async function. So you could have totally written this yourself, but it was made for you. So I'm going to go ahead and use that.
Can we see it?
Yeah.
This touchpad's going to be kind of tricky.
Yeah.
There we go. We can do this. We can do this. Okay, here we go.
We did it.
Okay, so this is just auto-generated code that just happens as soon as you drag that on.
Yes.
Awesome. How do we use it?
Right. So you go back into this file. It's pretty blank. The first thing you do with any Windows machine learning application is you load the model. So I'm going to go ahead and include that code here. So this is declaring the model, and then we're going to actually load the file that we added to the project. And after we load that, the next step is to actually get the input. So different models require different kind of inputs. For this particular motion model, it wants video frames. And so we're establishing that the camera that we included in the XAML is we're going to assign those frames to the model input. And we're assigning it to an event handler, which we will now declare and fill out.
So this control just gives you frames,
yes.
Basically. Okay.
Yes, it handles the initialization and the cleanup, so it's really handy. So here is the second step of any machine learning usage in WinML. It's binding the input model. So it's taking the video frames that the camera preview helper, the control, is giving us. And so we can actually put in this input and then evaluate it and assign it to an output variable.
And so, we just call evaluate async.
Right. So I'm going to put a breakpoint here before we run this code.
Okay. I'm going to stand up for a second there. Okay. Oh, man. Okay. So while this is running, why should I use, because we have this emotion model also on cognitive services. So why would I use this versus cognitive services?
Right. So WinML has some advantages because we're evaluating a video stream, which literally takes a frame in every second. We want to make sure that the evaluations are as quick as possible and we can update the UI as quick as possible. That is only able to happen because we're doing everything locally on the machine and we don't have to worry about the round trip time. The low latency is a really big factor for live feed evaluation. Yeah.
Awesome. So, okay, this is ready. So we should expect now to get a frame. And then we got to hit a breakpoint.
Yep, we didn't even see it. Okay. So you'll notice here in the output variable, we actually have a bunch of numbers. So I mentioned before that you expect an output to give you a list of probabilities. You would typically expect that to be between the value of 0 and 1. The reason that this isn't that value is because it needs to be run through a softmax function.
Thank you.
So that is helpful. Yay.
Look, Shan saved. Round of applause for Shan, everybody. Thank you. Okay.
So much better. So sometimes you have to massage the inputs and outputs of machine learning models. In this case, for the emoji app you saw before, we actually cropped the video frame to only feed in the face into it, so the evaluation didn't have to deal with extra noise. And right. In this case, we would typically run the output through a softmax function, so we would get the probabilities you'd expect.
Right. And I assume input output's already defined on the Azure Onyx website, right? Or
yes.
The GitHub, right?
You can see exactly the shape of the model and what it expects and what it returns. And all of this is documented on their GitHub repo if you want to use this particular model.
Well, thank you so much for showing us all. This is amazing. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, round of applause, everybody. Okay, I think we can move on to our next guest. We
I forgot to mention ahead of time, but we actually have a word from our sponsor.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes.
We need to talk about first. Just so y'all know, high quality productions like this take a lot of money. I mean, when you're paying a guy like Shen to be the one who brings the chairs up, you know it's going to cost you. So
I didn't realize we actually got paid for this. Did you get paid for this?
One of us gets paid for this. And at any rate, we told them we'd give him a little shout out for this. So I'm going to go ahead and take a minute and talk about our sponsor here. So
let's go ahead and close this out.
What we have is the company's called Goat Insights. Okay. And it's a really cool company to talk about because it actually, they're really using Microsoft technologies here. Now, insights are something that we provide in the Microsoft Graph. And you'll see that Goat Insights is powered by the data that comes out of the Microsoft Graph. So let's not, what we're searching for there. So what you get with Goat Insights is two things. First of all, you get this little array of images of goats in the bottom because their goal is to provide you points of relaxation within your workday so that you can be even more productive. And to get you to relax, they show you pictures and videos of goats.
Wait, aren't you a goat farmer? Aren't these your goats?
Are you accusing me of fabricating this whole idea of a sponsor just to show pictures of my goats?
Yes, actually I am.
Hey, ignore the guy behind the curtain.
Oh,
they're just really cute goats. I mean, you know, who doesn't feel relaxed when you see this? Now, the other important part is the top part of this. And I'm going to go ahead and refresh because it was, when we changed resolutions, it didn't seem to go through. But the top part is where we see our insights. Okay, so insights from Microsoft Graph, you get sets of insights that look at your data, the user's data, and you get things like the mails that are sent. You get things like, hold in here. Got to get this screen loading here. You get things like the calendar, and then you get wrap-up of data that goes with that. So,
take a seat.
Yes. All right. Now, there's something wrong with our screen here. All right, there we go. So at the top, what I'm showing you is an insight panel and then also the schedule that comes from Graph. So I'm able to pull what's on there and then go ahead and display it in my app so I don't have to go back and forth between Outlook. Now, one of the other things that I am able to do here is I'm able to do things like send notifications. Okay, so I send a certain amount of text messages and then the notification comes in, emails, the notification comes in and tells me that I have notifications, that I've sent a certain amount of mail, and then I go ahead and give me a link to go look at the pictures of the goats. You know, I'm working really hard. I need to slow down a little bit. Now, also on our calendar, we'll come in here. You'll see I have a budget meeting that just appeared on my calendar. Now, this is a 3-hour budget meeting, which means it's going to be long and grueling, and I'm going to need a little bit of a break afterwards. So what happens is Goat Insights will then grab the next open spot on my calendar and schedule a half-hour goat yoga session for me. That way I have a chance to relax. Now, this data comes from the Microsoft graph here. See our Wi-Fi was correct. And for the graph, you can actually go to the Graph Explorer. And what it'll do is I'm logged out in this case. So the Graph Explorer is going to show me what URL I call to get the data, and then what data I get back. Okay, so this data is in a JSON object, so it's really easy for me to consume inside my application. They also give you all these sample queries. So I'm going to go ahead and look for this one, the people I work with. And this is going to be important for me because I'm going to go back to my app and add a new feature here. I have this file called Graph Helpers, which is making the calls for me. So I'm going to copy one that I already have here. And then I'm going to update the name to get people data. Now, since the responses are all formatted very similar, I'm able to use this same helper and change the URL. And then I'm going to go back to my markup and uncomment some of the markup that I have in there and save that. And then when I go back and refresh my demo page, all right, you'll see I have this little bonus that appears in the Goat Yoga section. All right, this bonus is driven by that API call where I'm calling to get the people that I work with. The first person on that list is the person I work most closely with. And since Goat Yoga is a team sport, it knows that I'm going to want to invite my coworkers to come to Goat Yoga with me. So I'm able to pull all of that data from the Microsoft graph. Okay, now I'm a PWA guy. So I really can see the power in being able to take something that comes from the graph where we get all that intelligence and combine it with features that I can get on the client. So we worked with them to build the Goat Yoga PWA. Now, the PWA has the same features that it has inside of the browser, thank you. But we also have some additional features here.
A white screen.
Wait for this to load.
Now, PWA stands for Progressive Web App.
Progressive Web App. And we have access to the Windows APIs. Let me try it one more time. And so what I'm able to do is instead of getting notifications, I can get rich notifications, okay? Instead of just having pictures sent to me, I can actually change the desktop image of my PC or the lock screen image so that I can have those goat pictures come right to me. Okay. We can see that happen. Now, one of the other things that I'm able to do here is while I'm in the app here, I get a new bonus that's available to me inside the PWA that's not available in the browser. And this bonus actually goes into mini player mode. All right? So mini player mode can then play a video on screen during that 3-hour meeting. So you can imagine if it's a budget meeting for 3 hours, everyone in that room is probably feeling a little stressed, right? So this is a way for me to bring some of that relaxation to everyone. And nothing's more relaxing than a looping video of baby goats eating corn. All right, so that's what we have here. Now to show you how easy it is to call those APIs, I've got a sample of them here. Now, your Windows APIs in your Progressive Web App are just JavaScript. All right, so what I have here is a couple calls where I'm testing to see if I'm in the app, because if I'm in the app, I get this object called Windows. And then I call for a view management change into compact overlay. All right, so that's the small window that floats above everything else. And then whenever I'm done, I click on it and I go back and I go back to the application mode default. So it's just JavaScript that I layer on top of my app. If I have access to it, I'll call it. If I don't, I just play a video in the screen of the app. So I'm able to combine the intelligence of the cloud with the power of the client, which really makes me a Microsoft developer using both ends of it. Now you may be asking, this might work for Goat Insights, but why do I as a developer want to use the graph? Well, if you're building a native app or you're building a web app, you get a lot of benefits that richer, more powerful applications have from the graph. So first of all, you get access to the user's calendars and their email data and the things that we know about them as Microsoft. But you know, you also get access to their files, their file storage, and the ability to write your data's content into the graph. So you're able to write to the timeline and things of that sort that gives you richness, gives you pick up where you left off, gives you authentication for free that you don't get unless you want to put all of those pieces together yourself. So it makes your apps more powerful.
I think that's amazing, but I have a really important question.
Okay.
What if I don't like goats? What if I'm deadly afraid of goats? Like, what do we do then?
Well, you know what? I think our next guest may be able to help with that.
Okay. I guess let's get our next guest on stage. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome, and thank you, Goat Insights.
Let's welcome Jaime Rodriguez on stage. Let's move the chairs. Okay. So I hear you're going to help me with my goat fear.
I can try.
Okay.
I can try. Let me just make sure things are connected because I was failing to connect while I was there.
Okay.
Can I close that minimization?
Cool.
Yeah, turn Wi-Fi off on that one.
I can help. See, I'm helping.
All right, so here's how I can try. Have you ever heard of empathy therapy?
No.
Well, it's, you know, the power of virtual reality.
Okay.
People actually use it to, for example, if you're afraid of spiders, you can create an application and put spiders on the floor and get familiar
with
it while you're in control.
Doesn't sound fun. No.
So I thought for today, since I was going to do virtual reality and mixed reality, we will build a really quick app that shows you how easy it is to create the mixed reality application.
Okay.
So let me just go here.
You want me to hold it for you?
Yeah, sorry. He can do it for us.
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay. You're good at holding things.
Yep. So here I have... an empty app. It's a Unity application. So for building mixed reality applications, we do it with Unity. But what I have is just Unity with a empty scene. And I pre-created a couple of prefabs. So why don't we, for example, take into a scene and just add an environment.
Okay.
And then we'll add a goat. Let's add Lola right here, the one that says goat in the front. Her name is Lola, and we'll just drop it into the environment.
Where'd you find these prefabs?
This came from the Unity Asset Store, so these are free assets. You can just download them. I didn't have to do any work. For creating a mixed reality application, the one thing I have to do is set it up to be the camera at 000 because you're going to wear this in a minute.
Okay.
And we set this up for seated experience instead of room scale because, as you can see, we're very tight on space.
Okay.
So let me just try that. Now, normally what I would do, is just so you know how to build it, is here I would go to File, Build Settings, and then Universal. Click Player Settings. Make sure that at the bottom right here, in XR Settings, it says Mixed Reality or Virtual Reality Supported. And the SDK supported is Windows Mixed Reality. Here you could use Oculus or Steam or other platforms if you wanted to with Unity. But in this case, we only have Mixed Reality. And then I click Build. And this takes a couple minutes, but I have one already pre-baked, so in the interest of time. So let me go back
here. It's already been cooking for an hour.
And I'll just start it.
Okay.
So hopefully you guys can see. Hopefully you can see what we're seeing right here on the screen. And I just need to make sure this controller is on. You want to wear it?
See if it works. I'm not
for you?
Sure yet.
All right.
I haven't decided.
Come on, you got to do it.
Fine.
So right here, all you got to do is hold in right here the controller.
Okay.
This is your hand. And put this on.
Okay.
Stand right here if you want, or wherever.
Where'd
yep.
Go?
All right, now press the thumb stick. Just go ahead and press the thumb stick, not the thumb pad. Yep. And press the thumb stick.
Whoa.
All right, now you have a goat right there, and it's a little off because you're moving a little, but here you can actually be in control, and you can actually go in there and start, for example, petting it.
Okay.
If you do the grip control, you can actually pet it a little bit get a little closer and pet it. And then if you're scared, you can just press the D-pad, and that will do the horns. And you know about the universal horns signs with
what I do?
Press the D-pad.
The
This guy?
Yep.
Okay.
And see, anytime, if you're afraid of goats or bulls or anything that has horns, anytime you do the horns in front of them in real life, they're just going to fall asleep. That goes on any goat. So you can go to the zoo tomorrow and, you know, walk in front of all the bulls and do that in front of them.
I don't recommend this at all, but okay.
Yep. So that's it. That's how easy it is to create a virtual reality application. You start dragging and dropping a few things, exporting and compiling in Visual Studio, and that's it. You're done.
That now, sounds easy.
That's pretty easy for empathy therapy, but there's a lot more power that you could do. So for example, imagine that you were a crane operator and you need to be trained. So we could use that exact same thing, virtual reality, for you to learn how to drive the crane. In this case, Jeff wants to drive the crane.
You said crane operator, right?
Yep.
So it's always been my dream to be a crane operator. If software development doesn't work out, that's totally my backup plan.
You always look like a
All right. So why don't we do the same? This one we're not going to build from scratch. You can hold that one. Go ahead and wear that one.
Okay.
And
you look like a crane operator.
For this one, you're going to need both controllers.
Okay.
So go ahead and press the Windows button so that you can exit that application. And then to your right, there's one application that's our crane operator VR. Take the left controller. Let me turn it on for you. Now, normally what we would do for this is he's going to be one of the students. And what I would, and let's try it real quick, but then I would be the instructor, and I have 13 students in the room. So what I do is I wear the HoloLens, and with the HoloLens, I can see exactly what he can see, what he's doing. As you can see, he's moving around. Look forward and move the crane. So let me go ahead and run this, and you're going to see here through this PC, hopefully I can connect because I was having Wi-Fi issues there.
Can I be part
there.
Of this?
Yeah, you could be the instructor
if
you want.
I kind of feel left out.
So here's our application. Let me just make sure we can connect, Nicola, for you. Because here is the instructor. I can see him and how he's moving all the crane and everything else. So, and then I can control the variables for him to actually...
Okay.
It's trying to connect, but it's because we plugged two networks, it's having issues. So let's imagine that I was the instructor and, you know, I was running these tests. So first thing I would do is I would, from this PC or from my HoloLens, I would just tap and start a test. You can do the steps that I would tell you just by pressing your left thumb. That's our backup for no network. So in this case, I just started a test, show them underneath that there's a crate. Jeff, look down and towards the crate. And so his test is, you know, to move this crate from the red circle onto the green circle. And for me right here, I can see everything that he's moving, and I can add variables. So for example, if I wanted to add fog onto his scene, go ahead and add fog. That's right. Now he cannot see very well.
I can see fine.
So you can see fine? Okay, go ahead and turn it off. Right? Now, if you can see fine, there's other factors that we could do. So for example, we could throw in some rain. And today's forecast is a little bit different than usual. Press the left thumb. Because it's, you know, cloudy with a chance of meatballs. So we're not just doing rain. That's easy for him to work with the wiper. For him, we're actually giving him a little bit of food. Now, you see he's losing here because he's doing the pollards, and he's like all the sticks are coming down, which was the point of him not that he needed to boy doing the test. And the last one that we can do just for fun is we've added some birds, Jeff. So why don't you just press the thumbstick one more time. Yeah, these birds are a little angry, so be careful. Yep. So that's it. That's how, you know, if you were a crane operator, you could use this type of application to actually train for real, moving the crates and practicing the right things without having all the birds and everything else attack you. So I'm going to hit an exit there, Jeff.
Yeah.
Because the more interesting thing is the code for this, right?
Let's stick with software development.
Yep. And if you can hold
Join it. The club.
Yep.
So, all right, I can hold this here. So the main thing with that demo, the reason I wanted to show you that demo is because we've actually been releasing some of the samples for launch for Windows Mixed Reality. We created many different sample apps or reference applications, and that is actually what we call our cross-device application. And that one right here has Unity networking, so you can go back here into the scripts and see there's Unity network in there. There's the Holo Toolkit. You didn't get to see today all the Holo Toolkit UI because I couldn't project the HoloLens, but there's HoloLens, and you're connecting to the two applications, and you can see how here with just one scene, We've written the application that runs in the virtual reality like you saw. In the desktop right here, if this was connected, you would see what he's moving around without seeing the city. You would just see the relevant parts. And then obviously in the HoloLens. So for anybody who has the devices or who doesn't have them but can just run it on the emulator, you can go download the source code and actually just go play with it on your own and learn how to write this kind of application.
So wait, so this is one application that runs both on that PC, on that HoloLens, on this mixed reality device.
Exactly. Right. One UWP application runs across all of them. Here's the URL for it. So github.com, Winamar Samples, Crane Operator. There's one sample there today, but in the next month for the build tour, for the Windows Dev Insider tour, we're going to put all our other samples out there in the next couple of weeks because that's what we're going to use for the tour. So for those of you that are coming to the tour, you should come and do our labs and check out the source code ahead of time so you can actually be familiar with once you get to the session. So that's what I have for you today.
Well, thank you so much for us taking the time to show us this. We appreciate it. Okay.
And we'll have all the URLs at the end as well,
right,
of course.
So I think I'm getting a bit tired, so I think it's time to get some music going here. So why don't we go ahead and invite our musical guest on stage. There you go. So we're going to have Pete Brown, who comes all the way from the East Coast, to talk to us about MIDI and some awesome music that he's making. Hey, Pete.
Hey, thank you.
Look at that beautiful picture.
Where's the Pete music?
That's an awesome photo of mine.
There you go. You can take that.
That's an awesome photo of my unfinished basement office. Thank you for using that one. All right. I'm going to pop this out.
Okay. So while Pete is setting up, I'm going to explain a bit what he's about to do. So let's go ahead and switch over to my machine here. Do you mind switching to one? There we go. Man, your goat is still on here.
It's precious.
Okay. So Pete is going to use two things. He's going to use the new eye gaze capability that's in the new April 2018 update. And also he's going to use MIDI to talk to all this magic that's about to happen here. So let me explain a bit about eye gaze and how that works. As part of the new April 2018 update, there's now ability for developers to take advantage of eye gaze hardware, such as the Tobii hardware, that you can actually get X and Y points where the user is actually looking. So you can make games or you can make accessible applications for everybody. And as part of this, we also are going to ship a library as part of the Windows Community Toolkit that will enable you to add this support into your XAML applications really easily. So I'm going to go ahead the Windows Community Toolkit sample app. This is a preview of what's going to come out later this month. We have this new interaction library that's going to allow you to simply just use your eyes to control the whole application. So for example, if you look at the XAML for this, you can have just an attached property or just one line of code to enable just a button to be clickable with your eyes. So the user could be just using their eye tracking, look over to the button, look at for 400 milliseconds, and the button will click. Or you can set how many times you want it to click or how long they need to be looking at it. So we're adding this capability so you don't have to worry about the underlying API. You can just add the support to your applications. So Pete's going to use this to build an example of how to play music while he's doing his DJ stuff at the club.
So there's tons of accessibility and business reasons to implement this, but instead Pete's going to do music.
Okay.
Cool, thank you. Can we switch over to this one? So how many of you have been over to the Tobii Eye Gaze booth that's that way, I think, right? Cool. So Dwayne from MSR over there put together this really cool application that lets you play the piano with your eyes. And so what I've got there is I've got that application here, and then I brought a bunch of MIDI synthesizers up here that I'm going to be controlling with this. If you're not familiar with MIDI, it's a standard that's been around since about 1981. It's still alive today, and it's something that back in the first release of Windows 10, we added a new API in for UWP and desktop applications to support MIDI. And then about a year ago, we added in support for Bluetooth MIDI, which is a new variation on that standard. So let me first try this out and see if I can somewhat play the piano with my eyes here. So do we have audio on this? Yep, we do. There we go. Let's see. So there you go. Here, you want to hold that? Thank you. So I'm staring at different dots.
Look at that,
and
beautiful
music.
That's
terrible. Can I get applause for that? No, okay.
I'll come see
now,
that.
I'm terrible at playing piano with my hands. I'm even worse at playing piano with my eyes. So what I decided to do here is add in a second page to this application that gives us a slightly more realistic scenario. Rather than playing the piano, what I want to do is I want to trigger a part in all the gear that I have here. And the reason is that a lot of times when you're up and you're doing some sort of performance, your hands are busy and you're out of ways to trigger different things as in that performance. So let me first start off here by showing you what this button does. When I press this button, first of all, let me start this. When I press this button, it's going to increase the volume immediately of a second synthesizer I have up here. So for example, right? So if I turn that down again, you can see. Okay.
And so if you're a one-man band and your hands are busy with all the instruments, you can use your eyes to also use other instruments.
Right, right. So that, I just wanted you to hear what that does. Can you hold this for me?
All right.
So let's have a slightly better performance here. I'm going to start this. Now the speakers aren't half bad, right? So it's really good, right? You're getting into it. You want to do a bit more of the performance, right? You're getting ready for a transition. And then you can easily bring in that additional part.
Okay, that's amazing.
It's a little good. And you can easily bring in that additional part just by using eye gaze on this stuff here.
Awesome.
So, cool sample application. I had a lot of fun with it. Thanks again to Dwayne, who I think I saw in the back of the room here somewhere, for putting together the initial application.
Right. If you guys want to play with more eye gaze stuff, they have a whole booth way over there. You can sit down. You can mess around with all the sensors they have there. The toolkit's going to come out end of this month. It's going to have all the support in there. You can start putting in your applications. I want to thank all the speakers and everybody, all the guests that came on stage. I want a round of applause for everybody. Thank you, all your wonderful people coming to our session. We had a lot of fun. I hope you had a lot of fun. We have stickers here. We're going to let Pete play us out, but I hope you enjoy the rest of Build.
All right, and for those links, there's a aka.ms/ifdeflive. So visit that. Thank you, everyone.